It's Saturday morning and time for the Coaches Show. An in-depth look at high school sports with the coaches and players behind the headlines on News Radio KWOS 950 and 104.5. Here's Missouri Hall of Fame sportscaster Kevin Kelly.
Well, good morning and welcome to the Coaches Show. Week 3 of the high school football season is in the books. Here are your finals involving the area teams. Last night at Ray Hinches Stadium, Helias beat Columbia Battle. 41-19 was the final score. In Columbia, a tough loss last night for the Jefferson City Jays. It was Columbia Rockbridge, 23-21 over Jefferson City. Columbia Hickman beat Capital City last night, 52-27 at Atkins Stadium. And in California last night in Tri-County Conference play, it was the Blair Oaks Falcons over the California Pintos by a score of 50-6. As we mentioned, Helias wins last night at Ray Hinches Stadium, beating Columbia Battle in a battle of two teams that were undefeated on the season, undefeated as well in conference play, obviously. 41-19 the final score. We say good morning and congratulations to Coach Chris Hinches.
Thank you, Kevin.
Well, I'll tell you what, you played well last night on both sides of the football.
I thought we did, really from the start to the finish. And we certainly had a few breakdowns from time to time, in all phases. We weren't perfect, but I thought when you look at the game as a whole, I think, as a head coach, I'm very proud of the effort that the boys put forth. I thought we were very physical last night and matched their physicality, and our execution, for the most part, was good. And we played well and beat a very good football team.
We talk about the physical side of it, and you were physical on defense last night, no question about it.
Yeah, we were. And one of our coaches last night, we were sitting around talking, and he said that was Coach Bell. He said that was as physical as we had been in his 5 years here at Helias. So I thought we challenged the boys to come be physical and set a tone early, and they sure did that.
Sit around, talk to the coaches after a game? You mean you don't go into the locker room, put things away, and go right home?
No, we do. We go in the locker room, talk to the boys, put things away, but then usually as coaches, we go up to the film room, and we hang out for another hour or two just talking about the game, waiting for the film to upload. And then we begin our film breakdown and stuff. So it's usually a pretty late night for the coaches.
Boy, it was an interesting first half and second half. In the first half, we talked about the final score being 41-19, and that was the score at halftime. There were 9 touchdowns in the first half. The longest drive was 6 plays.
Yeah, and there was a lot of explosive plays in the first half. When you go back and watch the film, the second quarter was a big scoring quarter for us and for them. We were matching their scores, but we were able to get turnovers and take advantage of those opportunities, which helped us pull away. They took an early lead, and we were able to capitalize on their mistakes, and our defense took the ball away. We made some mistakes, but we recovered from those things. We bounced back from that adversity and just kept playing football and kept attacking, and that was where I really liked our offensive philosophy last night, particularly in the second quarter. We really opened it up, rain and everything. I mean, we were throwing the ball well. We were handling. We were running our offense despite the rain that we were encountering, and just really happy the way we looked, particularly in the second quarter offensively.
They had 5 turnovers in the ball game, and all 5 of those come in the first half. They fumbled the ball twice on offense. They threw 2 interceptions as well, and then you get a special teams fumble recovery. And, it's one thing to get turnovers. It's another thing to make the team pay for that. You made them pay for those last night.
Yeah, we did. And when you play a team that's that talented and explosive, being able to take advantage of those miscues and put points on the board and match their scores with our scores, that allows the team to keep that energy going. And like I said, I thought the game plan was really good on both sides of the ball last night, and the execution by the boys last night was really, really fantastic, and just overall just a great team win. Very happy.
After fumble recovery, you get the ball deep in battle territory, and with Alex Clement scoring from 6 yards out with about 5.5 minutes left to go in the opening quarter, you grab your first lead of the day at 7-6, and you never give it back, do you?
No, and that's what I'm talking about. Just keeping the foot on the pedal and just keep doing what we're doing, playing solid defense. And we gave up a few big plays. We had that running into the punter call, which gave them a first down, and then the very next play, they rattle off a 50-plus-yard touchdown run where he breaks about 6 of our tackles, and he's a really big physical back, and we just didn't tackle well on that play. But instead of getting our heads down, we came back and we were, you know, we answered that score with another score, and kind of got the momentum back on our sidelines. And it seemed like we did that a lot during the first half, I think, which allowed us to stretch that to a 3-score lead. And, you know, like you said, the second half was kind of an odd one, in that both teams were kind of running the football. It really was a short, much shorter second half. You know, we had a couple opportunities to finish drives in the second half, and I'm disappointed that we didn't score a couple times in the second half. But overall, the defense stayed really solid in the second half, and we were able to control the clock and run the ball very effectively last night between the tackles. I thought our offensive line did a fantastic job. You know, 325 yards rushing, that was our best output, and that really allowed us to shorten that game in the second half.
Yeah, we talked about this on the pregame show about their quarterback, Khalil Dampier, and how explosive he was. And, of course, Jerry Martin, their running back, how explosive he was. And you take a look at the numbers from last night as far as running the football is concerned. Martin, we had him for 88 yards rushing. Khalil Dampier, we had for 81 yards rushing in the ball game. Your quarterback, Jake Weaver, had 124 yards on the ground. Alex Clement had 120 yards on the ground.
Yeah, I thought we really, you know, and you know, certainly their quarterback and their tailback had moments where they really showed you how explosive they were. That first touchdown, he did that little zone read, and you know, and he was into the secondary, and he did something very similar on his second score. But I thought what we did too on the ground, both with Clement and Ryan Clark, and of course Jacob Weaver, were able to rush the ball with great effectiveness last night. And then, you know, you want to keep an explosive offense on the sidelines. And if, you know, their big play ability, you know, we felt one of our strengths in this matchup were the trenches. And that's what I challenged the boys with last night before we took the field. I said they've got a lot of athletes in the skill position. I said, but I think we are better up front, both offensively and defensively. We have to show that tonight. And I thought we did. You know, we cut their average rush yards in half. Mm-hmm. They've been averaging over 300, 330 a game, and we held them to 170, and we more than doubled our rushing output average per game last night. So, you know, we did what we needed to do and control the ball, rushed the ball very well in between the tackles, which was great to see. And, of course, Jake and Alex and Ryan did a wonderful job running the football too.
Well, Jake Weaver really looks quick running the football, quicker than you would when you see him at first, then all of a sudden he's gone and he tight ropes the sidelines, and he's quicker than you think he is.
And he's very explosive, you know, and he's a good quarterback. And when you're talking about dual threat, I think you need to have that in the spread offense. And in today's spread game, you have to make the defense account for him in the run game. And I thought we did a good job of that last night. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, in a couple of our pass play situations where things just kind of broke down, they had good coverage. Jake's able to tuck the ball and make something very positive out of something that could be a negative. And he's obviously, you know, his third year running our offense, he knows it, you know, front ways and back ways, and he knows, you know, when things are open and when things aren't, and he knows when he needs to tuck it and turn a bad play into a good play, and he certainly has all the skills to do that.
As we mentioned, 9 touchdowns from both teams combined in the first half, but I thought the key in the game was you had a lead of 8 at 27-19, and you scored 2 touchdowns in a matter of 24 seconds. The first one, Jacob Weaver on a 43-yard touchdown run. The very next play, your defense comes up with a pick. Then the very next play from that, you throw a 45-yard touchdown pass, Jacob Weaver to Damon Johans, and just like that, it's 41-19.
Yeah, we ran that little speed option to the right with Jacob. And, you know, when we're on speed option, we leave the defensive end unaccounted for, and we're going to pitch off of him. And he just got a little bit too wide. You can go back and look at it on film, and Jake just gave him a really good head fake, put his foot in the ground, and hit that seam and, you know, and took it in for a touchdown. I said, like you said, defense gave us the turnover. Very next play, we've been running a lot of 2 back, and they've been spinning down that safety to get more of a 4-4 look, and we wanted to get him in that one high look. We thought we could go vertical, you know, our vertical concept, and Damon Johans is wide open running right down the hash, and it was exactly like we practiced it, exactly like the look that we thought we were going to get, and Jake threw a perfect ball, Damon caught it, and that sequence of plays, those 3 plays in a row, that I think that broke the game open for us.
You had over 300 yards rushing in the ball game, as you mentioned earlier. You made them pay for trying to load the box, didn't you?
Yeah, I mean, we did it, and you know, the play to Damon is an example of that. If you're going to spin down your safeties and try to play an eight-man box with a one-high safety, with a team that can go vertical and threaten you down the seams, you know, we have to take advantage of those opportunities. And, we didn't have as many completions last night that as we had in the first two games, but the completions that we did have, you know, a touchdown pass to Cole Stumpy, a little out and up, the touchdown pass to Damon Johans that we talk about down the hash, and they were bringing so much pressure on certain downs, too. We're in that little backside screen to Drew Higgins, too, and that thing just popped wide open, and Drew was able to get in the end zone with that. So, you know, like I said, the pass plays were timely last night, and which is what you want to see offensively as well.
All right, week four, St. Francis Borgia comes to Ray Hinches Stadium, and you'll take on the Knights. They are 2-1 on the season. Opened up with victories over Pacific and Union, lost last night to Fox in a battle of undefeated teams at the time. They lost to Fox 25-20. Quarterback Sam Hageman, pretty good. I think he threw two touchdown passes and ran for a third last night.
Yeah, I was able to watch them for about an hour this morning, just kind of watching, just get a head start on them. And, you know, one thing you know about Borgia and Coach Gildahouse, they're going to be fundamentally a very sound football team. He doesn't change a lot. He does what he does, but you know, they're going to play that odd front defense, and they're going to run some option football. But that quarterback, he's also a scrambler, and he can throw the ball really well too. He's a very good dual threat quarterback, and even though we beat them very soundly last year up at their place, I expect them to come in and be ready for very tough ball game because they're so well coached, because they're so fundamental. They're going to be in the right places, and we're going to have a great week of practice.
Borgia was leading 14-13 at the half. Fox ended up winning the ball game 25-20. One number that stood out when I took a look at it last night: Fox rushed for nearly 300 yards against Borgia last night.
Yeah, when you look at Borgia's defensive front, they're a little undersized, and teams have been able to rush the ball on them. So we're going to have maybe a repeat performance for us too, as we were able to do last night, rush that ball. That'll certainly be a key to victory, our ability to run the ball against Borgia.
Coach, thanks for the visit this morning, and great win last night for you.
Thank you, Kevin.
Elias Crusaders head football coach Chris Hinches again last night at Ray Hinches Stadium. Crusaders moved to 3-0 overall, 2-0 in conference play as they defeat Battle by a score of 41-19. Back with more after the break. You're listening to The Coaches Show right here on KWOS.
Care Planning Solutions. We are family, and we want to become a part of your family. I'm Jatan Smith, the Senior Whisperer, owner of Care Planning Solutions, and the only geriatric care manager in Jeff City. Accepting that you need help is hard enough, let alone inviting a complete stranger to become a part of your life. Knowing who to trust is key. At Care Planning Solutions, I will always be the first and last face you see. We customize plans to fit you and your lifestyle. Let our family become yours. Care Planning Solutions. This is your life. Caring Solutions, JC.com.
My name is Lonnie Peterson. I buy cattle and up and down the road all the time with a Ford truck. And I make the drive from Fulton, Missouri down to St. James to do business down at Hutchison Ford. Working with Mike Tucker with Hutchison Ford has been wonderful. I don't have to explain to him what I really need or what I want. He already knows because he's a rancher. He's got cattle himself. He knows what a truck needs to do. He likes to sit down and spend the time with you to get the truck that you really need and you want.
Hutchison Ford. It's not what we do, it's how we do it.
Bathroom safety features.
What?
You heard right.
Ridiculous.
In my day, we didn't have fancy bathroom safety features like grab bars, incline toilet lifts, or curbless showers.
Heck, we didn't have fancy bathrooms.
Who needs them?
We just had an outhouse.
That's right. And we had one bathroom safety tool, and it was the safety stick we used to poke at spiders, snakes, and red wasps that lived in the outhouse.
It was the only place to do your business.
Yeah. And the safety stick was the only thing between them and your business.
Amen.
That's the way it was, and we liked it.
We loved it.
No, they didn't. Nobody would. This is Matthew with Handyman Solutions. The bathroom is one of the most dangerous places in the home, no matter what your age or health. But if you or a loved one have a difficult time navigating the home due to age or ability, Handyman Solutions can create a safe, accessible bathroom to ensure your safety and independence where you live. Keep yourself safe at home with Handyman Solutions. HandymanSolutions.org.
How was your day?
Fine.
Did you learn anything new?
No.
Anything I should know?
No.
Is everything okay?
Yeah.
Sometimes it can be hard to connect with teens.
Use Connect With Me activity cards to deepen your conversations. Visit health.mo.gov/connect to access these free cards and other resources.
A message from the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services.
Yes, Netflix is awesome, and so is sitting inside with the AC on full blast. But, Mom and Dad, it's time to pause your show and let's go do something. The Missouri Heart Center reminds you that your heart would really appreciate it. We can go on family walks at night, play kickball, or even just a quick game of catch. Because you know who wants you to be active even more than your heart? Me. Because I don't want you to miss a beat. Comprehensive cardiovascular care in the heart of Missouri. MoHeartCenter.com.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
Welcome back. Last night in California in Tri-County Conference play, it was the Blair Oaks Falcons over the California Pintos by a score of 50-6. And joining us now is Falcons head football coach Ted LaPage. Before we break that game down, going into the game last night, Dylan Hare in the first 2 weeks of the season was 27 of 38 passing for 393 yards and 5 touchdowns. And Jaden Purdy entered the ball game last night, averaging almost 15 yards a carry for you.
They both young men have been extremely attentive to detail early in the season. They both had great off seasons. Jaden is one of those young men that just every day he gives you 100%. He's going as hard as he can in everything he does. But he's really become a lot more complete football player. He's always been a great runner, but he's become a really good blocker and also a very good receiver for us. Dylan just continues to accelerate his game. Last night I brought Dylan in after the game and talked to him briefly. And I said, you know, I know you're just a sophomore. I know things are going on, but we expect so many great things out of you, and I'm not going to stop coaching you hard. I'm going to keep pushing you to be better than what you were the day before, because his ceiling is so high, and that's so scary for a young man that's so talented and has done so many things. You know, you think about a sophomore, he's already started 16 games in his high school career, mm-hmm. and is doing things that are really exceptional, and there's room for him to get better. And he, at the end of the day, is probably one of the most humble, underspoken young men that I've been around, and wants to be at that next level, and will do anything it takes to get there as far as humbling himself and working harder each day. So great players make it fun to coach because they expect great things out of themselves, and those two young men certainly do.
Last night, as we mentioned, you won 50-6 in the ball game. Your defense set the tone. California, you got the opening kickoff, went 3-and-out.
It was so much fun. We challenged our defense. Coach Butler, Coach Turk, Coach Ferguson, and Coach Lindenbrink, Coach Averline, they did such a great job with our defense this week. We really had to hone in. This team was the first two players on their team, their quarterback and their running back, both were averaging over 11 yards a carry coming into the ball game, and that was with over 20 carries apiece. So very effective running the football. Their line had done such a great job. It's such a physical presence for them. Our young men challenged or got challenged this week, and they really rose up to it. That first series was an incredible statement. They had a total of minus 3 yards on their first three plays, and I can't do anything but get excited about how aggressive we were to start the game and how attentive we were to getting to our responsibilities. When you're playing an option team, there's three options. There's the quarterback, the fullback, and the pitchback. You better be able to match in all three. And every time on the first three snaps, all three guys had some of that. Let me know right away that we were going to be disciplined all night on who we matched with.
You know, both teams came into the game 2-0. California wins by 40 in week one over Clinton. Then they shut out Fulton 49-0. And your defense holds them to, I think, almost just 50 yards of total offense in a ball game.
Well, and there were a couple blown assignments. I know I'm going to sound really crazy, but, a day after a game, I really go back and I evaluate ourselves and our coaches and myself and look at where can we get better. And there were some yards that we let them have last night that were undisciplined. And those are things that we need to address. If our team wants to be a team that competes at a very, very high level, you can't ever let yourself go to sleep. And I think at times we let ourselves go to sleep last night after we got up so much, and that's disturbing to me. I got in early this morning about watching film. I want to see what was the reason we did that, and I'm not going to allow that to happen to these young men, because they've worked too hard to get where they're at, not to play at their top level every day. But to keep a team that was that explosive to 50 yards is very, very impressive. And, you know, it needs to be rewarded, and we need to be excited about it. But at the same time, we need to know where we're weak and how we can get stronger.
29-0, you had the lead after the first quarter with about 4.5 minutes left to go in the first half. You led 43-0, and it basically, as far as the pass game was concerned last night, it was the Dylan Hare to Jake Closter show, wasn't it?
Well, Jake, we added up, had several catches for several touchdowns, and then Carson Pringer had a night catching the ball. Really, those two really, you could see the next level. They got challenged, I think, because this was a team coming into the game. They had been playing great defense. Their first unit had not given up a touchdown. Clinton scored 3 late touchdowns against their twos, so their defense hadn't been scored on. So I think our young men took it as a challenge, and those three guys really had a big night. Kate Stockman had a big night for us on the other side, as did Kobe Marvel. Those four receivers really worked. I think the biggest compliment I can give is all four of those guys made incredible plays for their teammates on the edge. And when you get receivers that are blocking downfield the way Cade, Kobe, Jake, and Carson are, it makes a lot of fun to be a receiver when you catch the ball. So that was a huge point for us. And I thought Coach Briggs did a great job. Coach Cook and Coach Lynn Brink did an awesome job of a game plan this week of getting the ball and being kind of almost unpredictable. And when I say unpredictable, run one, pass one, run two, pass two. There was never a tempo you could get with the defensive side if you're trying to be defensive coordinator of what we were trying to do. And I thought that was really, really important to keep them off balance. And I thought, well, coaches did a good job of that.
The Hare to Closter combination, 4 touchdown passes, and they were of 34 yards, 9 yards, 12 yards, and 12 yards. Dylan Hare with 5 touchdown passes in all in the ball game, and you were balanced, I think, close to 400 yards of total offense the ball game, and you were balanced between the run and pass, weren't you?
Yeah, and by design. We felt Jaden has come on so much, and then our old line has really started to come on, and we feel really good. You know, even though we have 2 sophomores and 3 juniors starting, they're big, they're physical, they're smart. I really feel like our old line's coming on well, and that's one of the things we want to try to be. We want to be a 50-50 team. And last night we left our starters in a little longer than I like to. But California is a very, very big physical team. We wanted our starters to play a little bit more in the second half than what we had done, because the first 2 weeks we've been pulling them so fast. We went ahead and let them play into the fourth quarter because of the conditioning. I think our conditioning in a game-like setting isn't where it needs to be, so we did that last night and played a little bit longer with our starters than we should. But we ran the ball a lot more in the second half. We were wanting just to establish our run game, let us know that we got power, and let those 5 offensive linemen know that they can just come off the ball and go.
Coach, congratulations on the win. Good luck on Friday night when you host the Boonville Pirates.
Thank you, sir.
Blair Oaks Falcons head football coach Ted LePage again last night in California. It was Blair Oaks 50, California 6. Elsewhere in Tri-County Conference play last night, Southern Boone over Boonville, 20-14. Boonville comes in to the Falcon Athletic Complex in week 4 with a mark of 2-1. Osage over Eldon, 41-26. It was a scheduled game between Versailles and Hallsville that had to be canceled. Hallsville picked up a Palmyra game last night, and it was Palmyra over Hallsville by a score of 51-16. In Central Missouri Activities Conference play, Helias over Battle, 41-19. Rockbridge over Jefferson City, 23-21. Back with more after the break.
As another election season heats up,
the liberals are not pro-life.
People are getting more vocal than ever.
Socialism or capitalism?
You guys are liars. It doesn't work.
And you don't have to wait for the ballot box.
But I'm all for fighting at the ballot box.
To have your voice be heard.
I believe the Democrats will do everything they can.
I want to see Republicans out more.
They make Joe Biden their nominee because they can control him.
Join the conversation on KWOS.
ShopMidMo.com, savings just a click away.
Some fun for your family, a friend's night out, a treat for yourself. ShopMidMo.com is a delicious way to spend the day. Gift certificates up to 50% off from Jersey Mike's Subs, Shady Gators, Midway Golf and Games, and many more local businesses.
ShopMidMo.com. ShopMidMo.com.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
Last night in Columbia, a 27-yard field goal by Jack Bauer with about 25 seconds left to go in the football game, and Columbia Rockbridge comes from behind to beat the Jefferson City Jays by a score of 23-21. Joining us now is Jefferson City Jays head football coach Scott Bailey. Boy, that was a tough one to lose last night, wasn't it, Coach?
Yeah, our guys competed to the end of that thing. You know, there's going to come a day when we win a game and everybody's going to feel good about themselves and we're going to get this thing on a roll.
You know, one of the things we talked about on the coach's show the first couple of weeks is winning the turnover battle, and unfortunately that didn't happen for you last night, did it?
Yeah. We gave it up more than we got it. And, you know, sometimes when you have a turnover, you can live, you know, you can live to fight again with it. And other times in critical situations when you get one, it's just the wrong time for that thing to happen, and that's what happened last night.
You know, we talked about the turnover battle, but the other thing that you talk about quite a bit on the coaches show is getting the ball in the hands of the playmakers, and you did that last night, didn't you?
We're getting better. Coach Duke and I are working on our offense. It's kind of under construction, honestly. It's a little bit of what they've done in the past and what the kids are used to and comfortable with, and a little bit of what I've done in the past and what I know best. And you know, the whole idea is to score enough points to win. And when your defense does what ours did last night and keeps them at 23, I would hope we could score 24. And it's disappointing, but it's also encouraging that it's way better than it was in week one.
I was going to say, if you take a look at the entirety of the game last night, do you feel like you take another step forward from week two to week three now to week four?
Well, we definitely took a step forward from week two to three.
Mm-hmm.
I would say tackling wise, we've probably come farther than we have blocking wise. But blocking wise, there's an element of continuity that goes with an offensive line that stays together for an extended period of time and gets to work together. We just haven't had that. We've kind of been a work in progress up there also, and so we're using a lot of different kids trying to find the right combination of five, and our blocking has improved from week one to week three. It just hasn't improved at the rate of our tackling.
Yeah, big plays last night. Let's break it down just a bit. Columbia Rockbridge on an 80-yard drive gets on the board and leads 7-0, but you answer, and Devin White with a 71-yard touchdown run, tying the ball game up at 7. And you take a look at that particular play, and I saw some tape of it last night. That was the great execution with Seth Brooks and Devin White and good blocking at the point of attack.
And one of those deals that if our skilled players are working their mesh and creating some deception, it'll help benefit our offensive line in that sometimes the defense doesn't know who has the ball, and it will slow them down a little bit. That's not going to slow them down forever, obviously, but it'll slow them down a little bit, and it gives our offensive line, where, again, we're working at it, but it gives our offensive line a chance to get on those guys. And then, you know, you get Devin into space, that's a huge advantage for us. I mean, you know, he's a fast kid that can outrun a lot of defenders, so our job is to hopefully get him to level three where he gets that opportunity.
Bryce Jackson, who scored their first touchdown, gets on the board a second time from 2 yards out, and they lead again 14-7. And again, you answer. And again, Devin White's involved, this time on a touchdown pass from Seth Brooks to Devin White, tying the ball game up at 14.
That was a real good call by Coach Duke, working with our guys in the press box. And they saw something they thought that they could get open. It was a route combination that they called. And, you know, again, it's going to be a deal where hopefully what you see week to week is a little better than what it was the previous week, because our coaches get better at working with each other. Our players get better at blocking and tackling. Special teams wise, we got a huge special teams play on a PAT.
Mm-hmm.
We got some field position. I feel like we played better in special teams last night than we had in weeks one and two. Defensively, I don't know how many guys that we played on defense, but I would say 20. Probably be a good round figure.
and there are 20 guys going on the field, you know, doing what they can within our scheme to help our team. And so I just think from week, you know, 13 days ago, you think about it, you say week one to week three, and it seems like a long time, but it's only 13 days ago. I think there's a big difference between what you saw then and what you're seeing now.
Yeah, early in the fourth quarter, you get the lead at 21-14. Tell me about that 87-yard drive capped off on a 45-yard play and a touchdown run.
I felt like we were able to get our run game going. And when that happens, like any defense, and you want to take the run away first. You want to force them to do something else. And so I felt like we got our run game going. We were able to mix in some really key pass plays, keep drives alive. And then we hit another big play. And like I said, if Devin can get to level three and on that particular play, what probably goes unnoticed is the blocking out on the perimeter. Jake Duke getting the alley flare sealed. David getting to level two and getting sealed. Guys that, you know, skill players, getting guys blocked up so we can get into a race.
Rockford scores, I think, with about 6 minutes left to go. And as you mentioned, a special teams plays, you block the extra point. And then after the turnover, they get the game-winning field goal and win by a score of 23-21. You've got Sedalia Smith-Cotton on Friday night. Right back at it again, Coach.
It's football season. And hopefully we can continue to improve this week.
What can you tell us about Sedalia Smith-Cotton? Have you had a chance to check them out yet?
Well, we're on the way home. I didn't even know who we were playing next week. So we're on the way home, and I had to ask the players on the bus who we played next week. So, Alan, you're asking me at 7:42 in the morning what I know about Sedalia Smith-Cotton. And at midnight last night on a bus, I didn't even know who we were playing. So I'm going to have to just say I don't really know what's going on with those guys. So we'll start working on them today.
I appreciate that, Coach. Thanks for the visit this morning.
Yep, you're welcome.
Jefferson City Jays head football coach Scott Bailey. We are back with more after the break. The Coaches Show on KWOS.
The end of summer means we'll soon be heading to hibernate in our homes, where according to the EPA, the air is 5 times worse than the air outdoors.
Uncomfortable.
At AirServe, we believe the air in which you live and breathe should be comfortable and clean. We want you to have the safest and cleanest indoor air this fall and winter, so when you purchase 2 or more IAQ products, you'll get discounts on all the products you purchase, plus we have financing available for you to take advantage of.
Comfortable.
Go to AirServe.com today and schedule your appointment.
Bundle and save. On the surface, all drugstores are the same. It's the little things that make a big difference. And at Roberts Drugstore in Jefferson City, there are lots of little things, like getting your pharmacist full attention, not just half of it, and receiving sound advice on a wide range of health topics from a pharmacist who knows you and who cares. So when choosing your pharmacy, look for the little things and experience the Roberts difference. Home of Jefferson City Magazine's best pharmacist, Kim Roberts. RobertsDrugstoreRx.com.
This is John.
And Wade.
Your tractor guys at Rosebud Tractor.
Hey, John. A contractor is asking if we can help him improve efficiency.
Piece of cake.
No. Improve efficiency, not consume calories.
I mean improving his efficiency is a piece of cake with the New Holland Skid Steer. New Holland created the vertical lift pass skid steer, and no one has been able to match its efficiency.
That's too bad. Now I'm craving cake.
Rosebud Tractor. Your tractor guys in Lynn and Rosebud, Missouri. RosebudTractor.com.
The Mike Ferguson Show.
Should you be wearing a mask or should you not? That's a personal decision. But the separate question is, should government mandate and micromanage your face? No, I don't think it should. It can be a good idea to wear a mask for you or for somebody else and still have a bad idea for government to have that level of regulation on you.
The Mike Ferguson Show, afternoons 4 to 6 on KWOS.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
Welcome back to the Coaches Show. We are joined now by Jefferson City Jays head soccer coach Scott Blake. They're off to a 5-0 start. Coach, great start for you this year.
Hey, Kevin, good morning. Yeah, it is. It really is. In our program, we're a bunch of baby and our system are off to a 9-0-1 start, actually. And things are going well. Coaches have worked hard. Players have worked hard. We're in a unique situation, everybody is. But we're taking it day by day and got a great start.
Well, Looking at a couple of quick numbers from last night, 29 goals for you in five games, and you have three shutouts in five games, I believe.
Yeah, we've been able to score. I mean, it's something that we've been able to tap into for a couple seasons now. You know, a lot of these guys that are playing, we're fairly senior-driven, have played varsity since their sophomore year. So we're able to kind of the fruits of our labor tap into their personality to attack and to score goals. For us, the biggest thing is as we go and pursue ways to score goals and ways to put pressure on other teams is can we keep our defensive identity? And that's kind of where we are right now, is trying to bring that balance to the field.
Thursday, you beat Harrisonville by a score of 7-2. You get three goals from Ethan Blake. Seven goals in a game in soccer. Is that like 49 in football?
I think that's what how it equates. I mean, you've got one goal. Obviously, the point after is not taken into consideration, but it's definitely a high-scoring contest. And we've been in that scenario two games this season where, you know, we could have a game end early, potentially, the mercy rule, and soccer is at eight now. You know, but we're trying to play full contest. We're trying to make sure we get all our players into matches. And really the biggest thing I see is in five games we've played everybody on our roster, on our varsity roster. And so that's a big thing for us experience-wise going forward. And it's also really big for team chemistry. So
you opened the season beating Ozark by a score of 3-0, and as we mentioned, undefeated on the season right now. And you talked about it just briefly a few moments ago. With your schedule, you kind of don't know week from week. You've got a schedule, but will you be able to play those games?
Yeah, you know, we typically and historically start out with CBC in St. Louis. That's our first contest, and that really goes a long ways for us to get our defensive structure. You know, CBC tends to test you. They're a high-quality program, high-power program. And so it forces us to be ready defensively and bend but not break. And you know, we've played some teams that have done that to a degree, but maybe not to the degree that CBC can do it. So, you know, for us, it's a little bit different start to the season. Because instead of looking at that being forced to defend, we're now in games where we are expected to carry the play, or we are on the attacking end of things. So again, you know, I think the biggest thing is for us is as the season goes on is to get some stability defensively. We've looked pretty good, but we know that there's higher competition out there. Yeah, as far as the schedule goes, you know, it's just kind of day by day, and our athletics department has done a great job at allowing us to pick up games when we lose them. And right now I think we're lacking one regular season game on our schedule. But we've had to swap opponents here and there just to get those matches.
A lot of seniors on this team, isn't there?
We've got 18 total seniors in the program, you know, so yeah, we're there's a lot of good experience on the varsity level, and you know, we are missing a little bit on the junior class as far as numbers go. So the hardest thing I think in our program is that when you have a big class like that, oftentimes your underclassmen are playing in their shadows, and there's not a lot of varsity time for them. So, you know, when those seniors graduate, you know, you oftentimes are left with inexperience. And so, you know, I think as the season goes on, it's going to be important for us to include as many kids in the varsity squad and getting some of those minutes as we possibly can to kind of plan for and address the future as well.
You mentioned 18 seniors. Is that the most you've ever had on a soccer team?
I want to say that our number would be around 16 for as the highest historically. So yeah, I would say it's right up there.
Next scheduled game is Monday, as you will take on Southern Boone. It's a home game for you.
Yes, sir. Yeah, it's senior night. Of course, it'll be a long ceremony. We hope people will come out and help us honor our seniors. We'll be doing that between the JV and varsity games, about 6:20 to 6:30, and we're going to speed through it as quick as we can. We appreciate Southern Boone kind of giving us a little bit more time between the games to do that. They're a good squad, and they're 5-0, and nobody to look by, that's for sure. Very well coached, heavy senior class. They've got 15 seniors, and we know them well, and we'll honor our seniors, and hopefully have a great match that night.
Off to a good start at 5-0. Continued success to you and the Soccer Jays, and thanks for the visit this morning.
Thank you, Kevin. Anytime.
All right, Jefferson City Jays head soccer coach Scott Blake again winning Thursday night as they beat Harrisonville by a score of 7-2. As we mentioned, they are 5-0 on the season, 29 goals in 5 games, and they've had 3 shutouts in 5 games, so off to a great start. Back with more after the break. It's the Coach's Show on KWOS.
This is a list of things that suck. Fat-free cream cheese. Having to use the bathroom while stuck in traffic. When the bottom of your hard-shell taco collapses. And having to answer 36 questions before pumping your gas.
Debit card, yes. Do I know my PIN? Would you like a car wash? It's 10 degrees out. Do I like my mother-in-law?
I just want to pump my car!
But inching their way slowly to the tippy top of the suck list are ticks. Disease-carrying, hard-to-find, blood-guzzling, nasty ticks. You know what doesn't suck? Having a friend in the pest control business. Steve, from Steve's Pest Control. And although he can't protect your bagel from the evils of fat-free cream cheese, he will make sure those creepy, crawly, teensy-tiny ticks are removed. Sorry, ticks. Sucks to suck.
I'm Steve with Steve's Pest Control. We're going to solve your pest problem. I guarantee it.
Now you got a friend in the pest control business. Steve's Pest Control.
The Pantheon, built with a special mix of Roman concrete. It stood tall for 2,000 years. The Pantheon, a perfect representation of what Winter Dent Insurance has provided businesses since 1912. Rock-solid support and a foundation that won't crack under the pressure of dealing with risk management. Winter Dent hasn't been around quite 2,000 years. But if you want your business to prosper as long as the Pantheon, you'll want Winter Dent Insurance. Winter-Dent.com.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
Welcome back to the Coaches Show. We are joined now by Capital City Cavaliers head football coach Shannon Jolly. Last night at Atkins Stadium, it was Columbia Hickman over Capital City by a score of 52-27. I mentioned to someone after the game, I said, they're coming. Cavaliers keep coming every week, don't they, Coach? Would you agree?
Yeah, I think so. I think we made some huge steps in the first half of last night's game, but I think that's the theme right now, and I think in our camp, I know everybody wants to be coming, sooner than later. But we did do some great things in the first half. Obviously a little disappointed on how things tailed off in the second half.
Columbia Hickman was 0-2 on the season, but they played Francis Howell in Week 1, Hoyas in Week 2, and this was a team that had speed, they had depth, they had 20-plus seniors on the football team.
Yeah, you can look at a mature football team, and that's what we plan on looking at each week. I think the people on the outside talk about those records and talk about things. And when you talk about records and look at the football team and judging it by the record, the only way you can really do that, I think, with any validity is to check back and see who they played. And not only that, is maybe watch film and understand what goes on in those games.
You know, in the ball game last night, you got a turnover early and you made them pay for it as you get a touchdown to take the lead early in the ball game.
Yeah, I mean, turnovers are everything. I mean, we've been losing the turnover battle pretty significantly the last two games, and that's kind of crippled our football team right now. And I think anybody that knows football at any level knows the turnovers create a ton of momentum, and that's something we definitely have to take advantage of on their side and be on the positive side with takeaways for sure.
You know, taking a look at some of the numbers, had a very good first half moving the football. I think you had 14 first downs in the first half of the ball game last night.
Yeah, again, like I said, it would be awesome just to talk about that first half. We'd all be celebrating this morning and doing those things. But unfortunately for us, we couldn't duplicate that in the second half. But yeah, there's no doubt that we got off to a great start.
And you put together another good drive in the second quarter, capped off on a touchdown run. I think Hurley Jacobs had 2 touchdown runs for you in the first half, didn't he?
Yeah, there's just a lot of work, a lot of collaborating. You know, a lot of guys working together to get down there. That's something, you know, we don't put a whole lot of emphasis on about who goes in here and who goes where, but you know, you push that ball down there. It takes all 11 guys to get down there close to the end zone. And with our inside run stuff, it's usually our 2 inside backs that, you know, they're going to end up punching those in. But it was a team effort for sure to get down there.
You take a look at the game, especially in the first half. It seemed like the teams were trading touchdowns between you and Columbia Hickman. You don't want to do that with the QPs.
thought trading them's not bad, you know, as long as you stay on top and it's you're trading one for one and you give yourself a chance at the end. But the turnover, that's where it comes in. And when you get a turnover and you don't have a chance to trade, and you don't have anything to trade at that point, is pretty significant right now.
You look at the players on their roster, and they have the potential for big plays. And Columbia Hickman got some big plays last night, didn't they?
Yeah, we just need to do a better job. I mean, in all three phases, we got some improvements to do. But I think Coach Mack and his guys on the defensive side would agree that we obviously didn't tackle very well either. So, you know, all of that stuff comes together. But again, like you said, we're coming, and I don't know what everybody else expected, but I knew this process was going to be a learning one, and Friday nights are a big learning ground for us to make sure that we're taking in everything as we get ready to watch film this morning.
One number that caught my attention last night, I think you rushed for over 300 yards in the ball game.
Yeah, we did. I mean, I think that's going to be indicative of our style of offense to try to create ball control. I know time of possession, we were seven minutes over, you know, in ball possession early in the game, and you know, that's the stuff that we look for, especially when you're playing explosive teams with younger players. If you can control the clock, you keep the ball out of their hands, and it gives us opportunity, you know, to wear our opponents down.
Yeah, well, you run out of the wing tee offense. You had three effective runners again last night. Ian Nelson had a good night. I think Ethan Wood with over 140 yards on the ground for you in the ball game. And as we talked about it earlier, you had Hurley Jacobs score three times for you in the contest.
Yeah, like I said, in our program, you know, there'll never be, you know, really one player spotlighted in anything that we do, and it's a collective effort. That's the nice thing about it, is going in and understanding that not one person in your program has to feel the pressure of being the guy that makes the plays each week. And it's just hopefully we spread the wealth and all the way down into the offensive line. And as we mature in our run game, I think our play action passing game will start to come. And we've seen a little bit of that last week, and I think we'll continue to get better in that area as well.
Let's spend a moment talk about the offense and defense from the standpoint of going from week one to now going into week four. What is the biggest change you've seen with regards to, first of all, your offense?
Well, since our football IQ, I know we're trying to make adjustments at the line of scrimmage and during the game, and not to add as an excuse by any means, but each Friday night we play is our first time out there, because we're learning new things each Friday night, because it's really tough to simulate in practice, you know, with the stage that we're at without any upperclassmen. And so, you know, when you look at that stuff, it's again, I think the things that are most significant is our football IQ, and as we go through, and the ability to make small adjustments within the game.
How about your defense?
Yeah, it's the same thing. Yeah. I mean, we're starting to see that, hey, if you're in the gap that you're supposed to be in, you're there and you're prepared for success, and coaching them are do a great job of preparing. It's just executing and really doing your job and making sure that when you get there, you have sure tackles. And last night, obviously, that was one of our frustrations.
Spend a moment and talk about enthusiasm, not only with the coaching staff, but with the players as well. There's a lot of enthusiasm out there for the Cavalier football team, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to think we're enthusiastic. When you get to play a game, you know what I mean, as great as we get to play, you should be enthusiastic. And, you know, I just think there's a lot of things, positive things that go in our program that to be enthusiastic about, and sometimes they're not necessarily the ones on the white lines. But, we try to be enthusiastic. We hire great people that bring great energy, positive energy, and I think our kids understand that. It's just being able to match that enthusiasm and passion and carry it through four quarters and probably more importantly during practice, if you want to be honest about it.
Well, another tough opponent on Friday night, you'll take on Columbia Rockbridge. Rockbridge last year was 3-7, but five of their seven losses were by 7 points or less, and they are 3-0 coming into the ball game on Friday night, and they've turned that around because two wins of their three have been by 2 points. They came from behind to beat Staley in week one, 26-24, got a late field goal last night to beat the Jays by a score of 23-21. This is a team with Bryce Jackson at running back and Nathan Dent at quarterback. They're very dangerous.
It's an experienced team, and they're used to winning. Their expectations at Rockbridge are to win all the time, and that's regardless if they're 3-7. You know, I think most programs will take dips here and there, and each from you know separate years. And you know, I think again, like I said, Rockbridge is a quality school, quality football program. I don't think you'll see 3-7 years, you know, in consecutive years and stuff. So we expect them to be good. We expect them in our conference. We expect everybody to be good.
As I mentioned, they beat Staley in week one, 26-24. In conference play, they opened up and beat Sedalia Smith-Cotton 42-0 in week two. Then the win last night over Jefferson City, 23-21. Any injuries from last night, Coach?
We're good to go. We just we're excited about getting ready to go to practice and do some things, and I think everybody feels awesome.
Coach, thanks for the visit this morning. Good luck in Columbia on Friday night.
All right, thanks for covering us.
All right, Capital City Cavalier head football coach Shannon Jolly. Again, they will be in Columbia taking on the Bruins in Week 4. Elsewhere, Boonville will be at Blair Oaks in Week 4 in Tri-County Conference play. St. Francis Borgia pays a visit to the Capital City to take on the Helias Crusaders, and it will be Sedalia Smith-Cotton at Atkins Stadium to take on the Jefferson City Jays. In Tri-County Conference play last night, Southern Boone over Boonville, 20-14. Blair Oaks over California, 50-6. Osage over Eldon, 41-26. Stepping out of conference play was Hallsville. They beat Palmyra by a score of 51-16. In Central Missouri Activities Conference play, Helias over Battle, 41-19. Rockbridge beat Jefferson City, 23-21. Hickman over Capital City, 52-27. And stepping out of conference today, Smith-Cotton. They played Warrensburg last night. Tigers win by a score of 35-16. We'll see you next week right here on The Coach's Show.
News Radio 950 KWOS and on FM at 104.5 KWOS Jefferson City.